this morning I prepared a special message for this session. And it's different. I'll try to approach it in a different way. A few days ago, I was at work. While I was sitting on my break room, most of my friends are not there, so there's a lady in front of me. You know, she hangs around with us a lot of times. She usually sits beside her because, you know, it's almost like a church in the break room. You almost go to the same spot every day. Because you take the break the same time, so you end up almost on the same spot. So when there's new people on Christmas and they sit on our chair, we kind of got mad. They're taking our spot. You know, they're just, you know, temporary workers. They're not supposed to take our seat. But there's a lady standing in front of me, and I think she's trying, and there's people around us, and then she's trying to maybe start a new conversation, and she caught me in surprise. She said, "Ewi, what is your New Year resolution for this year?" And you know, it takes me a long time because I know some people there. They know I'm a pastor. They know I'm a Christian. And I want to say, you know, if you want to say things like that, you want to be spiritual. So I took a pause. I have to be honest. You know, I took a pause and I think about it. And then I said, you know, nothing. I don't have any New Year resolution. And I explained to him, you know, personally, now I don't get offended if you have 10 lists of the New Year resolution. That's good for you. But I told him, you know what, nothing. I explained to him that personally, I don't wait until next year to change or fix something that I know I need to change in my life. If I found I need something to change on December 30, I will change it on December 30. I'm not going to wait on January 1st. To change it. And that's just me. That's why, even when I was a kid, I have that mentality. That's why I never have that New Year resolution. I don't know why. I think like that. Even when I was a kid, I was thinking, why would you have to wait until the next, you know, like, oh, I'm gaining so weight. I'm going to wait until next year to lose weight. Why would you do that? Stop eating now. Or whatever it is that you do. Oh, you know, I'm ignoring that person. I'm going to talk to him next year. I can't comprehend that. So I told him, you know, because I told him, for me, when I need a change, I don't wait until next year to change. I change now. That's just me, you know. And I also know by experience, if I am not ready or willing to change during November or December, I probably will not change on January. You know what I'm saying? That's why a lot of New Year resolutions, they don't last. They last for the first 2 weeks. And then most of them forget them after January. Now, but I understand the spirit of New Year. It gives us all a pause. You know? Especially the fact that many of us will take a few days break from our regular routine of our lives, right? Some of us don't work maybe for 2 weeks. And some of us have visitors in the house. Visitors that sometimes we never seen for the whole year. They'll come in the house and live for a few days. And so everything changed. So it gave us a pause. And it gave us a pause that somehow forced us to think and evaluate what happened last year, where we are right now, and what do we expect in the future. Now, in that sense, this morning I will speak on the topic that what are the things that we can make our experience this year better than last year? That is important, amen? How many here, actually, if I ask you, if you will rate 2016 in 10 stars, you know, just like you will give it 1 star to 10 stars. 1 star as a bad year, 10 stars as a good year. If you will think of 2016 and you will give it 5 or less, raise your hand. Thank God. We all have at least 6 to 10 stars. Well, whatever is your year, I want to give you a message this morning that probably you can add another star. So if you have 10 stars, if 2016 is your 10 star, you can have 11 stars by 2018. Now, my message is very simple. It's very simple, and it's my pastoral advice. Actually, this would be my message if each one of you comes up to me this morning and said, Pastor June, you are my pastor, you have a responsibility, you know, to teach me spiritually speaking. Can you tell me an advice how I can make my 2017 a better year than 2016? This is the one I would tell you. I actually prepared 4 of them that I think will help you, but I can tell you I probably just finished 1. So we will wait for next year for the other 3. Now, I have them prepared. I can say them quickly if I have to. But this morning, we have our communion. And I also trying to, I think I want the family to sit together, take communion together. And then I want the family to pray for each other. So I actually advise Eileen to bring the kids maybe around 11:30 to 11:45. So I want them to be here. Because I want us to end the year and finish the new year with prayer. Amen? As a family. I think that's a good one. Something wrong with my iPhone. I might start preaching. Now, let me also warn you that anything you will hear from me today is probably you heard before. But I can guarantee you, if you will take the chance, I'm not even call it as an advice or something for you to do. I want it to be a challenge because it is not easy. I want it to be a challenge. And I can guarantee this to you, this challenge is not something that you never heard before. Something maybe that you're very familiar with. Something maybe that you've struggled with. And you have to understand that most of our problem is not because we do not know what to do. I just found that out during this election year. Truth, what we believe to be truth, is not something that is based on knowledge. It is something that we want. Sometimes we make truth as something that we want. Now, I don't deny knowledge. Knowledge is very important. But the problem of the world today is not really because they don't know what to do, but because they cannot do what they're supposed to do. It is a problem of will more than a problem of knowledge. So what I'm doing is not giving you a secret. It's not something secret or something that you can find if you go up to the mountain and talk that old man sitting on the top of the mountain. It is something that is obvious and that is very clear. But rather, I just here this morning to confirm or boost your motivation to do what you need to do and probably find enough motivation to do it. So this morning, I hope I can challenge you and dare you to do it. And it's a very important one. Before I tell you what to do, first I will give you a very important principle about life so that my challenge to you will make sense. Now, it's more exciting to do something when you have a good reason why you should be doing it, right? For example, somebody came up to you, hey, why are you doing that? Oh, I don't know, I'm just lazy, I don't know what to do, so I'm doing it. That's not really convincing. But if you tell me, hey, what are you doing there? Oh, I'm doing this because in 3 minutes, I'm going to be a millionaire. Oh, probably a lot of people will do whatever you're doing. It's convincing if you have a purpose. If you have a principle and know why you're doing what you're decided to do. Of course, whatever this principle only works if you're a Christian. Amen. And as far as I can see, all of you this morning are Christian. Amen? No, Christians, when I mean you're a Christian, it's not like you go to Pacific Lighthouse. What I mean is you believe in God, you love God, and you want to obey the will of God in your life. Is that accurate? Amen. If that's what you are, then this advice is for you. The first principle is found in Psalms 139, 1 to 4. Psalms 139, 1 to 4. I think this is from NLT. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I am far away. You've seen me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say? Even before I say it, Lord. Now, what is the principle? The principle that we should never forget, and believe me, Christians forget this. At least they act like they forget this. Is God knows everything about everything. Amen. He knows everything about everything. There is nothing that God doesn't know. Nothing. Future, past, and present. He knows everything. Material, spiritual, He knows everything. What I mean with this is not only that He knows everything that happens, He knows everything before they happen. He also knows everything in your hearts, your motives, and your intentions. And He's also fully aware of what no one else can see and know about you. It means all our secrets. Believe me, He knows where your closet and He knows what's in the closet. You don't have to wait for a coming out of closet day to reveal it. God knows everything. There's nothing that God does not know. This is very important. I notice that even Christians oftentimes act as if like this is not true. Why is this important? It is important because as a Christian who gave his or her life to God, God has a plan for you and is accomplishing it in your life. Amen. Do you guys understand that? I want you guys to think of that. In this year, I want you to have that kind of mentality that as a Christian, God has a plan for your life and He is accomplishing it. You know, I told you, when I was teenagers, I will read the Bible. I read it cover to cover. And I read books. And I will buy books, many books, and I will read them. And I don't know why. And then during the time, my weaknesses is talking, as you can say. My grammar, my voice, my language is maybe the worst of me. I don't talk good. So I don't have any plan to be a pastor or a speaker or telling people what to do every week. I don't have that plan. But I read books. When I'm getting older, I'm 40 years old, I'm assistant pastor, I'm teaching in Sunday school. I was thinking, Lord, what happened? You know, I mean, I'm getting old, I'm going to die pretty soon. What happened? I wasted all my time, I'm reading all those books. Nothing. Then when I'm 45, God decided, time for me to be a senior pastor. Now let me tell this to you. If I didn't read those books, I cannot preach the way I preach every Sunday as I'm doing today. God has a plan for your life. And He is accomplishing it in everything that happens to us. It means whatever you decided to do, God will always lead us to His will. Of course, you can make it difficult by running away from Him. And I almost want to tackle that, but that is another sermon. This is how I teach my children to face disappointment. You can ask them. Whatever happened, I tell them, God is involved to what is happening in their lives. When they think they miss a good opportunity, it only means that God wants them to go to a different direction because God has a purpose in our life and He is fulfilling them. Number two, because God will make sure that we will reap, enjoy or suffer the consequences of all of our actions in this life. I know I sound like a broken tape record because I probably say this every Sunday and I will say it again next week. So we don't have any more excuses. We will reap the consequences of every choices and every action we make. God knows everything and He is a good God. Now listen. Life in this fallen world is already difficult. God knows. Jesus said that, right? Why would you worry about the future? Today has been a problem on its own. Tragedy, sickness, death, broken relationship can happen just around the corner. It can happen to you not because you've done anything wrong, simply by living in this world. Don't try to produce more hardship by your wrong choices and wrong actions. Amen? Amen? If you think that, your 2017 will get a little better. This principle, God knows everything, make all the actions and choices we make in this life important and meaningful. Amen. Everything we do, when we open that fridge and we're already full and we eat that ice cream, that is important. When we go to work and we saw somebody doing something wrong and we did not do anything, that is important. Everything we do is meaningful and important in their own degree, in their own consequences. When you woke up this morning and you decided to go to church, that is important and that is meaningful. Everything we do has consequences. Let us make the right choice and do what is good. I'm afraid to touch my iPhone. It might talk again. Here is what I want you to do this year. And not just in a general sense. You know, like, I want you to love each other. We heard that so much. And sometimes we don't know what it means anymore. Just like today, you know, we hear so much about being racist. And we don't know what it means. Everybody now is a racist. It doesn't matter what you say. So being called as a racist right now doesn't mean anything. And it's our fault. Because we generalize everything. That's why right now I don't want it to be more specific, like love everybody. You will end up maybe leaving this church doing the same thing. Because you heard it before and it's a generous thought. I want to be specific. The first thing I want you to do, probably the only thing that I can ask you to do, is this. I want you to restore or heal broken relationships. Amen. I want to tell you that it's very important. Chances are each of us this morning have a broken relationship with someone. How many here, you don't have any broken relationship? All the people around you, you can talk, you can hug them, and you can love them, and you can enjoy good fellowship with them. Everybody. Anybody. Of course, there's somebody, right? There is somebody, maybe your co-workers. Someone that you haven't talked to for a long time because of a conflict that happened in the past, or somebody that whenever you see that person, you still talk to that person, but whenever you see that person, you're hurt. It affects your life. Maybe someone that you still talk rarely, but down deep in you, but down deep, both of you know that the relationship is not like the way it used to be or the way it should be. It can be anyone who live and work around you, a friend, a neighbor, a co-worker, a relative, a loved one, and many times it's our own brother or sisters in the church. It may be someone who's just sitting beside you. Now, if you have a healthy, good relationship with everybody around you, I can tell this to you, you are unique. You are unique. You are unique. You are very special. But you still need to hear the message this morning so that you can always avoid having a broken relationship. Relationship is an integral part of our lives. And broken relationship is one of the most common experiences in this world that can lead to depression. Amen. Anxiety. It can lead to fear. And even physical sickness and broken relationship for many and for some can lead to death. You may say you're fine with that broken relationship in your life, but somehow deep inside, you would prefer that relationship to heal and be restored. Amen. Now, I want you to understand why it's difficult to heal broken relationships. You know, we have a tendency to pursue justice, right? To get even, or act like God. That means we punish everybody who has done evil to us. Amen? No, really. I heard people who was offended or hurt by people, and the only that keep them excited is to see one of this day that God will finally punish that person. There are times this action may be necessary, but they often lead to broken and damaged relationship that never heals. There are broken relationships that still exist, but those who are involved does not even know how and have forgotten how it all started. You know, there are people like that. Oh, you mean you haven't been talking to your mom? How long? Oh, many years. I've been talking to my older brother. How long have you been talking? I don't know. I can't forget. Maybe several years. Really? Why? What happened? I don't even know. All we know is I don't like him. He doesn't like me. We don't talk to each other anymore. They have forgotten. But both parties are aware that it exists. Someone need to be daring enough to swallow the pride and reach out. Amen? Now I want you to understand, if you can heal one broken relationship this year that happens last year or even the year before, you already made 2017 better. Amen? Amen! If you can heal any broken relationship in your life that you carry, that you bear through the years and through the times of your life, if you can heal any of them, you already made that this year better than last year. I don't need to hear who's at fault. Because when we decide who's at fault, we're not really talking about healing. We're talking about justice. And justice doesn't heal many times. Let God do the justice. Our purpose is to heal broken relationship. And I don't speak it at somebody who is better than you, who does not struggle. If anything, that is my weakness as your pastor. I don't hate people. But it's hard for me to restore broken relationship. There is no excuse to do such thing. I grew up as people always compare me to my brother. And my brother is much better than me. Looks better than me, younger than me. He has more talent than me. He speaks better than me. And I always feel like people doesn't like me. And I grew up that I don't care if people doesn't like me. I grew up like that. You can ask my mom. You can ask even my wife. I don't care if people doesn't like me. I can take care of myself. Even to my wife, even in my principle in life today, I always tell the Aileen, if you don't like me anymore, just tell me. We do not damage the kids. If you think I'm no good as your husband, go marry. You want to marry somebody, just tell me. Anytime, any day. I appreciate anybody who will like me a little bit. I don't expect anybody to like me. I grew up with that attitude. I can excuse myself that I'm a damaged person, that I am hurt, that I cannot heal broken relationship, and God should forgive me if I hate people. But there is no excuse for us to live in hatred and a broken relationship. We need to heal because it affects our life. We need to swallow our pride. Today, my first challenge to each of us is to make an effort to heal and restore broken relationship in our lives. I know it is hard. Swallowing our pride is not something we do every day or something that we practice or learn in our school. But that is how having Christ in our life makes the difference. We can do things that are humanly impossible to do, like healing a broken relationship. Amen. Amen. The Bible understands how many of us are susceptible to breaking relationship, that it warns us how to treat others before it happens. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, it says, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other, for each other's fault, because of your love. Imagine how powerful is that message. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other. Making allowance for each other's fault because of your love, because of your love. You know what is this really saying? This is the practical application of turning the other cheeks. You know, some people doesn't know what to do. Pastor John, what does it mean? Somebody slapped me on the face. Okay, slap me here again. Look, is that what it means? I know, what does it mean? This is what it means. Be gentle. Be humble. When people hurt you, give them space. Give them allowance. Give them a break. But when broken relationship happened and hostility already existed, that we no longer call each other loved ones or friends, but enemies, the Bible is very clear on our attitude toward them should be, right? It's Matthew chapter 5, 44 and 45. But I say to you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. Do you hear that? Healing a broken relationship is only possible if we act like God's children. When Jesus tells us to love our enemies, I can argue that Jesus Christ was thinking of what is good for us just as much as what is good for our enemy. You know, I hear some people say that, Pastor June, it really is so hard to pray for my enemy. Why, sister? Why, brother? Because, you know, I don't want them to be blessed. I want God to punish them. But you know, to tell you the truth, the reason God wants you to forgive and love your enemy, because God wants to bless you. And God doesn't want to for you to be hurting and struggling at night thinking about your enemies. The reason your life is miserable is because you have never forgiven the person that hurts you. Amen. I know it hurts, but it is true. Sometimes we think God made a mistake because somebody hurt you. The next day, he or she got a brand new car, and you're still driving your old car. Right? I mean, almost close like that. That's why our life is miserable. There's a broken relationship that is not healed, and it festers like a pass in our heart, down deep inside, in our heart, in our soul. There's a space there. It cannot heal. It cannot be broken. Because we're taking care of our hatred. And that broken relationship is there for a long time. It doesn't heal. Jesus was telling us to love our enemies, not because he does not care for what we will become. Because he does not care for what we will become. Some people say, if I forgive my enemies, then I become weak. People will take advantage of me. but exactly because he cares that we will, what will happen to us if we live with hatred in our heart, especially to those people who once was very close to us. Amen. Can you imagine living the rest of your life from today hating, disliking, with a broken relationship with somebody that you used to love and care so much? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? For many of us, we don't have to imagine it because we live it every day. This broken relationship. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how beautiful 2017, if that broken relationship in your heart is healed? Can you imagine that? That's more than just winning the lotto. That's having peace. And make your prayer more meaningful. I can have the sense how hatred make a person who are very sweet become very sour. You know, I can see that. I have a friend. Her older son doesn't talk to the dad, to her husband. Very sweet person. She's my best friend, and my family know her. And there are times we will be sitting with her brothers and sister. We will be sitting at work. She will just start crying. Sour. You were lying when you say, it does not matter. You were lying. Our hearts are made to forgive, to be whole, to be pure. A broken relationship are not meant to be there. We need to heal them. The damage remains after many years because broken relationship was never healed or dealt with properly. So I challenge you right now, think of the person that you haven't talked to for a long time because of a broken relationship. I know there is someone, maybe your neighbor, because you caught him throwing the trash in your backyard. Heal that. Believe me, 2017 will be better. Buy him a new trash can. You know what I'm saying? There is always a way to be better. You know what they always say? When they go low, we go up. Amen? We go up, we go higher. We do a better things. Because our life doesn't count only on what happened here. Amen. We know there is somebody who is powerful and greater and has a plan for us. And everything we do, he put it to pieces to make our life perfectly in accordance to his will. What an exciting life. Probably most of you, the very person that you need to forgive is here with you. Maybe sitting beside you. Maybe they just don't know. That can happen. That can happen. You know, I remember somebody telling me, I'm going to divorce my husband. The husband doesn't know. Broken relationship. Take care of them. Our years will be better. I will be finished. So I challenge you right now, think of a person that you haven't talked for a long time, or a person that you know a broken relationship exists. Someone that ruined your day. Just remember what happened in the past with that person. It ruins the day. And I know a lot. I know a lot of people. It's almost, you almost want to hug them. You almost want to reach to them. But you cannot do anything Because that pastor, the one that pastors in their life, is in their heart. You cannot just go reach there and take it out. It has to be taken out by themselves. It's there. It's ruining their life. Make an effort to reach out to that person. Amen? Make an effort. An effort. Believe me, even though it does not cause any fruit, an effort on your side will give you a little, will make you feel a little better. You know what it means? Because somehow you know, you have overcome that obstacle of unforgiving spirit. Sometimes you know in your heart, you reach out. You know in your heart that the healings begin. And that's good. And that's good. I know it's not easy. Maybe the first thing you can do is to really honestly pray for that person. Maybe that's the first step, right? To really pray. Lord, I pray for Pastor June. Bless him. Maybe that's the beginning that you can be healed. Amen. You pray for that person. Then you go a little closer. I don't know. What's closer? Like their Facebook. Maybe go to their Facebook, you know. Something that they post. Something that when you see, you get mad. This time, you click it and you click the heart. I love you. I love you. I love your post. You're healing. Amen. But you need to take a step to heal. You need to take the step to heal. Probably when I look at my Facebook now, there's a lot of people who will like it. Now I guarantee you that every broken relationship that you restore will make this new year better than last year. If this is the only thing that can change in your life this year, it's worth it. But let me warn you, since you heard the message this morning, if you cannot forgive, your 2017 will be worse than last year. Why? Because you know it now. You know it better. You know better.